Aloha once again, it's Forrest with you here on the Ageless Path and with my friend Sandy Sims. Sandy, long time no see. Welcome to the program.
Good to be here.
It's great. You know, you and I have a little bit of shared history in terms of some of our business ventures we've done in the past. And now, you know, the time has moved on and we're all getting a little older. But I love the conversation you and I are having about how people maybe sometimes... It's like having a computer that can't run the most latest programs. I mean, the world with COVID, with, you know, the complexity of government, the people can get overwhelmed. You were just talking about that. Yeah.
Well, I think that that's the reason that so many people are feeling so unsettled. They used to feel fairly confident in one or two areas, but now it's across the board. You know, it's like I don't really have a good feeling for the outcome in any number of areas, and that's unsettling.
Yeah. Well, it really is. And I think, like I say, when if I'm getting pressured about a certain deadline for my business, or, you know, oh, I haven't filed my taxes and all that, and I start running stress, it's like a cloud in your mind. You can't think straight. Now, add to that worry over COVID, or, you know, financial futures, or what's the market going to do. When COVID hit, I was convinced my real estate practice as a broker was just going to go down the tubes. Oh my God. So I was kind of, you know, stressing out. What am I going to do? And indeed, it turned out very different. But a whole lot of people, they got blindsided by the impact of all that, and their businesses went right down the tubes. And what do you do with that if you can't support your family?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
So what are some of the things worth knowing about this? I mean, this, I get a kick out of you. You'd wrote a thing recently, which I featured on the podcast, called "Is It Time to Repot Yourself?" And tell us a little bit about what you were thinking with that, because I thought that was great.
Well, first of all, I think that basically, if we look back over our lives, and you and I are moving, you know, down the track here.
Right.
I think there are moments. They don't come every day. They may not come every year, or maybe every 5 or 10 years or something. But there is a piece of information on a radio program or in a book or talking to a friend, and it really resonates with you at a deep level.
Nice.
And quite honestly, you know, I can't remember exactly, but I do remember I myself was turning 60 at the time, and I ran across this, and I can't remember whether it was radio or whether I was reading something, and it said, you know, think about repotting yourself. And I started thinking about it from the point of view I think I'm like a lot of people that in my 30s, you know, I was having, you know, I was always very curious. You know, curiosity was one of the things that I guess made advertising a good career.
Yes.
And I, you know, I had read several books and ideas around the concept of, you know, following your intuition. And I had a lot of, you know, fortunate enough to have a lot of contact with people that had done pioneering work in this whole area.
Nice.
And it sort of resonated with me that, you know, what happens as we get further down the track, wherever we're living, you know, that's familiar. You've got relatives there, or you've got a lot of friends, you know where everything is. I mean, you can, as I mentioned in that article, you can sleepwalk through life.
Yeah.
And there's, I'm not putting any judgment on it. I mean, basically, for a lot of people, that's a very comfortable way of being. And all of us, you know, take time out and like to just sort of kick back.
Yeah.
Was that you have a choice. And one choice is to consciously say, I'm going to sort of step outside of my comfort zone. Now, I don't have to crash outside of my comfort zone. I mean, it's not like you got to jump out the window and see if it's all true, that, you know, the ground is going to hurt when you get there.
Yeah.
But I think that especially at this time, you know, little nudges, you know, taking trips to places that, you know, you have thought about, but you can figure out a lot of reasons why not to go.
Yes.
But at the same time, just pushing yourself a little bit outside of the comfort zone. I mean, I'll be the first to admit, I remember taking up tango dancing, and to this day, it's been 5 years, I still am not that comfortable on the tango floor.
But well, that's like one of those advanced things. It's like playing the violin or something.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You know, I'm still in my head a lot rather than in my body. But when I look back on these things, even the things that I'm not doing well, I give myself credit for at least showing up and giving it a whirl. I think the concept, for example, of learning, my stepfather was 99 when he died, and he was still trying to learn new languages.
Nice.
You know?
Right, right.
And so I kind of feel like this, we are, what would you call us? We're designed to learn.
Nice, nice. And if we turn that off, I mean, what happens to us? The metaphor, like a plant, if it's all constricted in the pot, moving to this area, we got ourselves this little project near Seattle, we're having a blast. It's like a whole new sense of fresh experiences, people, and so forth. It's truly a way to open up all my senses again and all that. And that's kind of what you were talking about. It's a
well, I was saying, one of the things I was bringing up, the reason a foreign country is good is because everything is new.
Sure.
You know, just the simplest things in life, like finding out where something is or how to ask for something in a foreign language. Or, I mean, you know, you get down to such basic things. These are things a baby, you know, learning how to just get along in the world. But if you think about it, you're a baby getting along in a more advanced world when you're in a foreign environment and you don't really, you're just relying on other things like, well, use your fingers and point and do things, you know. It's such a basic level, you know, that you're not getting anybody in trouble or anything, but you are stretching yourself.
Nice. I love that. Well, muchas gracias, señor. Entonces, hablamos totalmente en español. Sí, señor.
Sí, señor.
Okay. Okay, bueno. Well, it's so fascinating. I somehow lucked into learning quite a bit of Spanish back in middle school, actually in junior high. And when I talk to people, I'm really good at restaurant Spanish. But when they see me, obviously a white guy, speaking pretty fluent Spanish, they just light up. It's a way of connecting. And it's a chance for me to show kindness and respect for somebody else. Well, that's energizing to me. It is to them. And this idea that as we age, we're still learning animals, Sandy. I love that. That's such a good thing to know.
Well, and I think also I've been reading some of Walter Isaacson's books now, you know, he wrote biographies on Benjamin Franklin and Steve Jobs and Leonardo da Vinci and so forth. And one of the things that happens is that there was an interview with him on NPR, and they were he had written this book called Codebreakers, dealing with, you know, RNA and messenger, the things that we're finding out now that make, you know, medical science move so quickly.
Right.
And, you know, the point was, he said, the thing these people had in common was that they were curious.
Mm.
And, you know, curiosity is a trait that probably would serve most people by being super smart.
Nice. Nice. We're having a little bit of an audio glitch.
You know, happen. Okay.
I'm sorry. We're having a little bit of an audio glitch. So listeners, as you're hearing Sandy describe this, those little dropouts are on our end, not on yours. But that idea of curiosity, Leonardo da Vinci was one of my classic role models. I'd love to be that universal man. But as you're saying, the curiosity element, that's a muscle that doesn't have to go away as we get older, huh?
Well, and I think the good thing about curiosity is you have to say to yourself, you know, why don't I just check this out for myself?
Yeah.
You know, if you hear something controversial or someone says, well, I wouldn't go there or I wouldn't do that, you know, my concept is, well, if it's something you really want to do, why don't you do a little bit more digging and see if that's really going to hold up?
Nice. Yeah.
And I think that that just the idea of being curious is what opens up a lot of new avenues for us. And it's something everybody can do.
I love the thought too. You know, you can look into the unknown without crashing into the unknown or jumping off the top of the building. So if there's a sense of caution at any age, whether we're a college kid looking at a certain career, or I'm 80 years old and I'm thinking, you know, wait a minute, maybe I'm going to take up tango dancing or archery or playing the fiddle.
Absolutely. And but I think that possibly the other space that people can get into is, I mean, the whole metaphysical world, if you want to say what is that, it's made up of a lot of explanations about how things work in which there isn't current necessary science proof.
Yes.
And I always love that statement, you know, absence of proof is not proof of absence.
Oh, good one. Yeah.
You know, just because we don't know how something works doesn't mean that it's not viable.
Yeah.
And I think that that's one of the things that a lot of these ideas about getting in touch with our own personal power and then questioning, is that really me or is that just luck? Or, you know, I think that's part of a curiosity that serves a lot of people well as they get older.
Well, super good. And the expression that we probably both have heard is, oh yeah, well, I'll believe it when I see it. No, no, no. You'll see it when you believe it. You'll see it that you can have a thriving later time of life that is fabulous, it's sensual, it's exciting, it's aliveness, it's a feeling of vitality. And if I believe that, then I can do it. But boy, the role models of what it is to get our power, especially as we age, it doesn't mean that we keep being the biggest shark in the tank. We become refined in other ways. And if you think about your power as you hit 60, 70, 80 years old, what are the elements of power that come to your mind?
Well, I think the main thing is that you begin to, at some point in your life, you begin to take credit for things that you actually have wanted.
Nice.
And eventually they happened. Now, the trick and the problem that everyone faces along these lines is, let's just say, you know, you're getting ready to drive to the shopping center and you really say, you know, this is crowded, but I just know I'm going to get a parking place when I get there. And you get there and there is one.
Yeah.
And so you pull into it. Well, you've got a couple of ways of looking at that. One is, well, that's lucky. And the other one is, I really needed that parking place and there it is.
Hmm.
Did I have anything to do with that?
No.
And then, you know, the next way you look at that is you think to yourself, well, you know, I always wanted to do X and now I'm doing it.
Nice.
Well, you say to yourself, well, yeah, I'm doing it because I worked hard.
Yeah.
But what about all the other factors that fell into place? You know, maybe the opportunity or maybe the person that showed up at just the right time to give your company or you a big break. You know, I mean, yeah, you ended up getting what you wanted, but maybe there were other factors falling in place that made it happen.
Nice.
And at the end of the day, you still don't give those factors any credit because you say, yeah, you know, I got what I want, and the harder I work, the luckier I get. You know, you've heard all those kind of things.
Yeah.
But you don't. That maybe there were forces working with you to help you achieve that.
Nice. And the feeling of the unseen hand, that I don't have to rely on me forcing everything to happen. Come on, Sandy, make it happen, man. Well, you know what? There's times when there's things going your way. And boy, talk about, you know, trying to force things. Over my shoulder, I don't know if you can see in the video, I've got a Celtic fiddle up on the wall. And yep. I decided I'm going to pick that thing back up and play it again. And we've been taking lessons online. The cool thing that comes to mind, this guy Jason, teaching on a site called fiddlehead.com. I'd recommend it to anybody, because he says, listen, guys, if you practice every day, you're a musician. You're a musician. And so I'm practicing every day. And I'm not going to Carnegie Hall just yet. But the feeling of put your foot in the water and be a tango dancer and write those little stories and get some paints and do a paint, whatever it is, that whole creative thing, I think, is a critical part.
Right. You know, I'm looking at that violin, and just to give you a little idea of a related story we're talking about, wow. I was in shopping center the other day, and I heard this fantastic music, and it was basically a guy standing out there, and he had an electric violin.
Yes.
And he was playing absolutely beautiful music. And when you came by, he had a sign out and said, you know, I'm trying to raise, I lost my job. I'm trying to raise money to pay the rent and everything. And I remember reaching into my wallet to give him money. And I thought to myself, the reason I'm doing this, there are a lot of people that have, you know, real unfortunate circumstances and you help out, but I liked his creativity and he was giving something back to people.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. It's funny. We were in Costco parking lot yesterday and we heard this loud music. It's like an accordion playing hallelujah, hallelujah. And over there was this kind of Latin looking guy playing this accordion and he had a speaker. He's out in the middle of the parking lot saying, I got three kids. And I'm just wanting to get by, but it was beautiful. And you know, the idea that there's more to it than everybody's story. They're going through something that we don't know what it is, and to look at them with kind eyes. That's what I'm trying to do, is learn to be kinder to myself and others. Everyone's going through their own battles, huh?
Well, and I think too that you just mentioned. That was the thing the great did. They said, when people said, what does it take to be a deadhead? And they said, you must practice kindness. That's our mantra. And if you think about it, if you practice that, eventually your world becomes kinder.
Nice.
In other words, you're experiencing more kindness, you know, and that's because you put your attention there and you're thinking about it. And as a result, you're moving in that direction.
Nice.
And kind things are moving in your direction.
And that's the magic that makes the parking place, so to speak, yeah. Show up. You know what? And it's funny, after, again, all these years working with men, often the question, well, hey, man, what's your purpose in life? And some of them get a big blank on that. They go, I don't know. I just don't know. But the ideas of curiosity, Sandy, of kindness, of patience and willingness to put ourselves on the dance floor, those are mission-based. Those are values that I think are enduring. Yeah, I'm really keen on the kindness practice and the very complicated cliche called show gratitude and feel gratitude. That's no joke. Yeah. Well, it's good. When I ask you this question, what's your thought? Hey, so Sandy, how old will you be in 10 years from now?
Well, you know, interesting, chronologically, 10 years from now, I'll be almost 90. I will be 90.
There you go.
Biologically, you know, I keep laughing. I tell people I'm a 16-year-old trapped in a 79-year-old body.
Yeah.
And you know, basically, we just all have to put up with deterioration. You know, we can try to push down the road, but the other side of it is to, instead of, you know, constantly resisting everything, is to make the most of it and accept that, you know, there's a scheme that's grander than we are that gives us a certain time in which to experience our life.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether you ever saw the movie or not, but there was a movie called Orlando.
No.
Well, that movie, I can't remember, it was decades ago, but it was about a person who kept morphing into the next life.
Oh, my.
In other words, they never died.
Yes.
They just morphed into it. And at the end of the movie, I sort of was trying to figure out how I felt. And I thought, what an exhausting experience.
Wow. Yeah, you can never get to rest, huh? Yeah. Huh. Yeah, Orlando.
Had a rest period. And then I thought, well, you know, so maybe our older, in the latter part of our lives, you know, you think about it and you're in your 30s and 40s, you're out there making stuff happen. And in your latter part of your lives, you can still make things happen, but they're less complex. And also, this is a period of more reflection. You know, in other words, you have a chance to say, yeah, that works pretty well, or no, I'm glad I've gotten that out of my system, or whatever. But it's more of a period of passing on whatever you've learned and helping other people, doing simpler things, enjoying. You know, I think for a lot of people, especially in this period of where you feel like we're living in time warps.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, the ability to stop and really smell the roses, as they used to say.
Sure.
You don't have that if you're just absolutely, you know, under it all the time.
Yeah.
You know, you just can't find the time to do that.
Yeah. Well, right on. And the years when you were in the ad business and you'd have 3 weeks to come up with a good ad, now it turned into three hours, and the speed of everything. Real estate is so techy now and so pushy as to speed. Even while we're talking, I've had two calls from a client. He wants answers now and all that. And I'm all in for that. But I think that sense of being able to reflect a bit and just take it down a notch. I recently read a suggestion about mindset. And the mindset comes from the Stoics, you know, back Epictetus and these kind of guys. But it was four things. Never in a hurry. Never worried. Never desperate. But never stopping short. And if I could just say, wait a minute, I'm not going to be in a hurry. I'm not going to be worried. I'm not going to be desperate and acting from those places. Boy, is that helpful to me when it comes to navigating what I make up as the dangers or the pitfalls, right?
So. Yeah, yeah. Well, I think these are all, and also these are times, I think, when we're talking about repotting and everything, these are times that people can reflect. You know, I had an unusual experience in my first years in the business world. I dated a psychiatrist for a couple of years.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought to myself, looking back, I mean, what a gift that was. Because she said, you know, basically the point of any kind of psychiatry or counseling is simply to give people a more useful point of view than the ones they're struggling with.
Nice, nice.
You know, it's not about are you sick or not. It's about, you know, here's a way to think about things that you might not have thought about, and it might be an easier do.
Nice, nice.
You know?
That's pretty good. I like that.
And so she said to me, she said, Now, the fascinating thing is that our lives are really about experiences. And that's why you can't say, well, this experience is better than that experience. You can say it's different.
Yes.
But if somebody is interested in pumping a lot of adrenaline and they want to jump out of an airplane, you can't say that's crazy. You can only say that's, wow, I'm either interested or not interested in that, you know?
You come back alive. Yeah. Wow. What a trip, Sandy. Well, this is a delight to talk with you. And, you know, when you talked about the complexity or the interesting newness of living part-time in another country, you've been spending some time in Mexico and this other foreign country called Florida now, and occasionally Hawaii too, huh? Yeah.
Well, you know, somebody said, how leave Hawaii? And I don't, you know, it's like every, the chapters in your book, some of them are longer and some of them are shorter. Yeah. The real reason I left Hawaii was that I got a phone call from my mother one day, and she said, I'm 95 years old. You give me one good reason you couldn't be a little closer. And that was when, you know, I said, hey, Mom, I don't have a... I'm not really excited about those summers in South Texas. So right. How about San Miguel? And she said, that'll do just fine. Well, I had been talking about, you know, repotting yourself. And a few years before, I'd gone to live in Barcelona for a summer just to do it. You know, like I didn't know anybody. I thought, okay, I'm going to go to Barcelona and hang out for a summer and see what happens.
Good.
You know?
Okay.
But I ended up, you know, in Mexico. And the reason I like Mexico so much is that, first of all, it's close to the United States. So if you need to come back for a variety of reasons, which we all have, friends, family, medical, whatever. Yeah. I was close. It is basically, you could say it's a first, second, and third world country altogether.
Sure enough, yeah.
And it has that going for it. And, you know, it has its drawbacks and it has its positives. And I think you could say that just about anywhere. Sure. And so I've enjoyed Mexico. I find the people, you know, really genuinely easy to get along with, and also if you make an effort, they really appreciate it. So it has that sensitivity about it that I like.
Well, it's so true, Sam. And I was lucky enough to make trips to places in the Philippines and also Malaysia and Thailand and Mexico, where all of those come to mind, because here are these people. They don't have two frickin' nickels to rub together, or pesos or whatever, and they're smiling and they're alive and they're kind. And it isn't true of everybody, but it is.
Yeah,
it's remarkable to see they're not rolling in cash and they're still civil and good-hearted people. That's a very spiritual teaching right there. Nice.
So Mexico has been a very try to spend at least half of the year there, and maybe later more of the year. I don't know. You know, I don't know at what point, you know, I, like a lot of people, just decide, well, I'm happy not to go anywhere now, you know, but you know, that's down the road.
Well, entonces, hablamos en español, señor. Señor Sandy Sims, estamos en este podcast. Y el señor vive en México 6 meses cada año. Interesante. Sí, es un gringo, pero un gringo con corazón, con conciencias, and all that. I'm just making up some of that. So, anyway.
Yeah, well, you're muy bueno, my good man.
That's good.
Yeah. Hey,
everybody. It's Sandy Sims and Forrest Arnold here with you on The Ageless Path. And you know what we're talking about is how, I mean, time's going by for everybody, but how do we age less along the way? And that's, you know, what we're talking about. Thanks so much for being with us on the program.
All right. Thank you, Forrest. It's always good to, and it's good to talk to you.
Likewise. Really good to talk with you. Cool, man. See you soon.
All right. Great.
Great.